In my personal reflection upon this gospel text, I find it interesting that Matthew, Mark, and Luke report this same incident, which means that they were all being asked the same question and were dealing with a response. But then it's curious to me that in all my 49 years as a priest, I can't remember any time, any day, when anyone asked me about this. I suspect it's because most people in this day and age do not give much thought to the future. So what comes after death and what it all means is not something that they're worried about. This is especially so, as we know, for people younger than most of us. They just can't seem to be bothered about it. On my own part, I admit and recognize that I never gave it a lot of thought either until the time when some really good friends, my parents, and family members began to go on ahead of me. The thought that I would see them again was a little comforting. But it gets a little abstract when you get serious about the fact that there's no body, and therefore with no eyes. What does see them again mean? How's that going to work, I would ask myself. And then when I got a little bit more serious about this, someone suggested that it's not a matter of seeing, Father, it's a matter of knowing. At which point, it became way too philosophical, and I put it off for another day. I never did buy into that idea that I'd be joining the choirs of angels singing holy, holy, holy for all eternity. The lyrics seemed a little monotonous, and sometimes the melody's a little lame. If that's the future for me, then I'd be standing over there with the choir practicing holy, holy, holy instead of over here. So here we are with this gospel and these questions. What the Sadducees reveal, though, about their question is that they were thinking of the next life, if they were thinking of it at all, because they were denying it. But when challenged to think about it, they wanted to think that the next life would be a continuation of the present life. That's their problem, and that is what Jesus addresses. He never says what it's going to be like in the next life. He simply says it's going to be different. What he says is that our relationship with God will continue, and that death will not change that in the least. In fact, if you work with that idea long enough, you might come to the conclusion that the relationship with God will then be even better, because there won't be any distractions or competitions for our time and attention. With that revelation, this gospel here, we're face to face with a reminder that the time will come when there's not going to be anything left but our relationship with God. Therefore, if there hasn't been one, not much is going to carry over. This gospel, when taken beyond the superficial, which is what the Sadducees can't seem to do, proposes that this life is a time for discovering and building, nurturing our relationship with God, because all other relationships are going to be found in God when this is all over. The time we spend here and now at work with our careers, becoming a success in terms of fame and finance, at our games and our pleasures, are going to count for nothing in the next life, because it's going to be very different. If that's all we do is chase after these things, we're going to have a problem in the next life. Those things aren't going to be there. The message that this gospel leaves with us provides some ideas about what this life is for and what really ought to matter for those who know and believe that there is a life to come. What Matthew and Mark and Luke all suggest is that what will not be different in the next life is our relationship with God. And so these days and these times are to build up that relationship, for that is all that's going to carry over. Nothing here will mean nothing then for all eternity. And that's hell. There's also a way of understanding this gospel message that insists that the future is already present. And so we're called to live our lives already transformed, lives that really do make a relationship with God the first and the only one through which and in which all other things have their meaning and their value. So we're still in this life, but we're already called by faith to a transformed life. We can daydream. We can put it off because we're too busy, or we're in too big a hurry, or just being silly like the Sadducees. Or we can embrace the transformation to which we have been called and make the covenant relationship with God that we renew at this sacred table what matters, and matters most of all.